So our text opens up with a statement that begs at least a little bit of our attention. Jesus gathered together with his disciples, as I've said these things, so that you will not stumble and fall. It's the sort of statement that somebody makes when they know that trouble is just around the corner. Indeed, Jesus tells his disciples that they'll be kicked out of their houses of worship, and more than that, they'll even be killed. Killed by folks thinking they're doing the very work of God. It isn't pleasant. It's not hopeful news, but perhaps at this point in the story, maybe that's what we should be expecting. Jesus, after all, has been rejected, betrayed, and in the coming chapters, he will even be denied and abandoned by his closest followers. The cross is in sight. And strangely, Jesus has taken hold and taken ownership of all of this and called it his hour. The disciples know that he's going away. And again, strangely, Jesus tells his disciples that his going away is actually for their good. It's hard to imagine how Jesus' departure, especially by means of execution, is good for anyone, let alone his disciples. The church has done an awful lot of theological work into figuring that sort of thing out throughout the centuries. But what I want to highlight about our text today is how simple Jesus' answer is to that question that we might ask. Why, Jesus, is your going away good for me? Why, Jesus, is your going away good for the world? Why is your going away good for all of us disciples? It's simple. Jesus says, if I don't go away, then I won't be able to send the advocate to you. I think that all of this, Jesus' warning to his disciples, the good news of his departure, I think all of this is tied up in the reality that the hour of Jesus, the hour of his suffering is upon them. And now he's turning their attention to the good yet sombering news that the disciples have an hour coming as well. Think about it. Jesus has said that the world hated him. Jesus has called his disciples to follow in his ways, to live the same sort of life and say the same sort of things that he's been saying that's garnered such hatred. He's told the disciples that if the world hated him, they would hate them as well. And now, as Jesus' hour is upon them, they will see how tragic, how merciless, how downright ugly hatred can be. Jesus' hour was upon them. At the beginning of our text today, Jesus reminds the disciples that their hour will come too. It isn't bright or hopeful news at first glance. And why should it be? It's Lent, and we're Lutherans talk on it, right? But I think what can be missed here is that Jesus really does describe his departure to the disciples as a good thing. It's a good thing for them, and it's a good thing for the world, because Jesus wants his disciples to know that the advocate, the one that he will send, really is that big of a deal. That even Jesus leaving to send this other helper, this other advocate, is that good of a thing. But why? Why is this advocate such a big deal? It's worth noting here that the one called Advocate in our text today, goes by several names in the scriptures, from Holy Spirit to Helper, and several in between. The point here is that Jesus is really sending the very Spirit of God, the very breath or voice that was present at creation, the very Spirit that descended on Jesus like a dove at his baptism, the very Spirit that has filled him, been with him, guided, directed, and brought him comfort all the way through his ministry and even now as the cross is in sight. It's this very Spirit that Jesus is sending to his people. He's been talking about doing this for a few chapters now, and I think hitting some of the highlights can help shed some light on why the Advocate is such a big deal for Jesus in this part of John's Gospel. First, back from chapter 14, Jesus says that the Advocate, the Helper, the very Spirit of God will be with them forever. This, in and of itself, is awfully big news, especially in light of Jesus' coming departure. No matter where they go, no matter what they do, no matter how hard the road is ahead, if they're kicked out of their houses of worship, if they're even killed for their faith, God's Spirit will never leave them. Jesus' promise is that through thick and thin, they will never be alone because God's Spirit will be there alongside, even within them. Jesus' people will never be alone because Jesus has sent the Advocate. It's sometimes difficult to keep Jesus in sight, to remember his words, to remember his life, the way of true and abundant life that Jesus calls his people to. It's hard to remember in the midst of the weekly grind, and sometimes it's even more difficult to remember in the midst of hardship, tragedy. It's tough to remember that Jesus' way of self-sacrifice, of giving of ourselves for the sake of another, really is the true, full, abundant way of life that God always intended for his people, that true, real, full joy comes from that. And that's why Jesus' second highlight, also from chapter 14, is important. Jesus said, "The Advocate, the very Spirit that I'll send to you, will remind you of everything that I've told you. The Spirit will remind you of me in the midst of the weekly grind, in the midst of tragedy and hardship. The Advocate, the Spirit, working in you and in you through each other will remind you of who I am," says Jesus. "You won't see me in the way you have, but you'll remember me because the Spirit of God himself will be at work within you." Even more, the Advocate, the Spirit of God, Jesus says, will continue to testify, will continue to speak on my behalf. Jesus says, still speaks today through his Spirit, through his people. And now to our text today. The Advocate will call the world out on its injustice, on its deranged sense of right and wrong, and bring a sense of true judgment, hopeful judgment to the world. Not the kind of fire and brimstone sort of stuff that we often think of when we think of just judgment, though that may be part of it, but God's judgment is restorative. The sort of judgment that set things right, that brings things back to the way they were meant to be, the sort of judgment that declares wholeness, goodness, and restoration to God's people and his world. And then we come to the last one, the last highlight that Jesus gives us as he talks about sending the advocate. It's from the very end of our text today, and I think that it gives us a really good launching point for what it means for us to be the people of God living today, because it brings all of the others together. Jesus said, I'll send to you the advocate, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What Jesus is saying here is that what belongs to Jesus will no longer just exclusively belong to Jesus, but everything that is Jesus's will be declared to you. And yes, this means the impending hour of suffering that is coming. But more than that, it means Jesus' relationship with God, whereby he calls God Father. That's not just for him anymore. It's for you. You are the family of God. You call God Father now. It's not just for Jesus to be one who declares forgiveness and reconciliation. That's not just his anymore. That's for you. It's not just for Jesus to share the good news of God's kingdom. That's for you as well. It's not just for Jesus to show the world a new way of life, a way of hopeful, joyful life through which God is setting things right in the world. That's not just for him anymore. That's something you and I participate in as well. It belonged to Jesus, but the advocate, Jesus says, declares it to be yours and mine. You know, I think the remarkable thing about our text today isn't that Jesus is going away. It's not even that he's coming back. And it's not even that he's sending someone else. I think the remarkable thing about our text today is you. It's through you that Jesus will be made known to the world. It's through you that his forgiveness, love, and reconciliation will go out to the ends of the earth. It's through you that the world will know that God loves and cares for all of his creation, for all of his people. It happens through small, though sometimes boisterous, acts and words of love. It happens through small acts of service that may even seem to go unnoticed. It happens in our interactions with each other, our coworkers, with our neighbors, as we share the love of Jesus through our words, through our deeds, through our attitudes. It happens as justice. Reconciliation starts here in this place as we live as a just people, loving and caring, sacrificing for the sake of each other, where it starts here and reverberates out the doors of this building, through the city, through this country, and through the world. The task of Jesus, the love of Jesus, belongs to you and me. His spirit goes wherever you go. His love goes wherever you go. The good news of his kingdom goes wherever you go. Because through his spirit, through the advocate, Jesus has taken all that is his